Okay. Tomorrow there will be a regular daf shiur, but on Friday morning I'm out of town. I'm gonna be in Mississippi for a wedding, so Friday morning maybe I'll record it, but I don't think I'm gonna. I mean, I obviously will not be here to give the daf. Okay. Today's daf is Nida daf Tess. We left off in daf Chesam and Beis. We are holding at the two dots on the bottom of daf Chesam and Beis. Ubra, I think, is what we're up to. So we were discussing when is it that we were discussing the Dalid Nashim, that according to Rabbi Lezer, a Dayan Shaitan, that when they see Dam, they can assume that they're only Tameh from here on in, and they're not Tameh Lemafreya. So one of them was a Mu'uberis, and we were defining the term, what each one meant. So Mu'uberis means Mishiyodeo Ubra. Mu'uberis doesn't mean the moment of conception. It means from when she's recognizably pregnant, from when she knows that she's pregnant. So says the Gemara, the Kama Hakaras Ubar, again, is about 7 lines from the bottom of Daf Chesam Beis. So the Gemara says, how long is that Kama Hakaras Ubar? How long does it take till you recognize that she is pregnant? So Sumchus or Mishem Rameir Shlosha Chadashim. Sumchus says Bishem Rameir that it's 3 months. 3 months is the definition of Hakaras Ubar. Vafel Pishen Rai Ledavar Zeichel Ledavar. And even though we don't have a clear proof for this, there is a remise to it in the pasuk, because the pasuk says Vayihikim Shlosh Chadashim Vayugad Yehuda Vegomer. The Vegomer is Vayugad Yehuda Lemar Zansa Tamar Kalasecha Vegam Hine Haraliznunim. That it was after 3 months. Then they told Yehuda that Tamar must have had Znus because she's pregnant. She was Haraliz Nunim. So why did it take 3 months for them to pass this news on to Yehuda? So it must be that after 3 months is when it first became recognizable that Tamar was in fact pregnant. So that's where we get the idea that it's 3 months. There is a whole dion in the Achronim whether the Bizman Hazeh you also need 3 months, or maybe it's enough Bizman Hazeh to have less than 3 months the second she knows Bivadaus that she's pregnant, especially since most women Bizman Hazeh, especially, you know, the whole point we're discussing is Dayashaita. What's the Dayashaita really dependent on? It's dependent on being Mesulekes Damin. It's dependent on stopping to see Dam, and most women Bizman Hazeh stop to see Dam from the moment they actually become pregnant. So what if a woman takes a pregnancy test and she knows bevadai that she's pregnant, and there's a very strong assumption that she's going to be misalakas damim. So what would we say bizman hazeh? Do we assume that you need to wait shlosha chadashim, or do we assume that right away you could know that she's misalakas damim, that she's muberes? So Rav Moshe in Igros Moshe Yerdeichel Gimel Simon Nun Beis Os Aleph writes that bizman hazeh, since they're poskim miliros miyad, since they stop seeing dam right away as soon as the conception happens, so then you don't need 3 months anymore. We don't require 3 months. And he proves it from a Bach and from an Odi Bihuda that both mention that is in fact the Teva of Nashim Bizman Hazeh. However, in Chuvus Rabbi Kiva Eger, in Simon Kuf Chav Ches, he writes that we shouldn't pay attention to this Teva, and that we should wait for 3 months, just like Bizman HaGemara. Nothing should have changed between Bizman Hazeh and Bizman HaGemara. And Rav Vosner, in several places, in Shevet HaLevi, in his Chuvus, and in Shiuri Shevet HaLevi, Rav Vosner has a very nice sefer on Hilchas Nida called Shiurei Shevet HaLevi. I don't remember if he wrote it up or someone else wrote it up, but his Shiurim on Hilchas Nida is a very very important sefer for those who learn Hilchas Nida. So in Shiurei Shevet HaLevi in Simon Kuf Pei Dalet Siv Zayin, he writes that we should be machmir about this. I mean, in general, in that sefer he writes we should be machmir about just about everything, but he says we should be machmir about this because that she doesn't have a dimnu baris except for until hukar ubra based on the Din HaTalmud, based on the way the Gemara defines Hukar Ubra. Now, in the Taras HaBayis, another important contemporary sefer on Hilchos Nida, Taras HaBayis is Rav Avadya Yosef. Rav Avadya Yosef wrote 3 volumes on Hilchos Nida. First 2 volumes are big, fat volumes. He wrote basically an encyclopedia on Hilchos Nida. He goes through everything that was pretty much ever written on the topic, and he points out that the Igros Moshe himself, Rav Moshe himself, in Kuntros Chuvos, Hilchos Nida Aleph, I don't know what that is exactly, what the Kuntros Chuvos is, but he has some other place where Rav Moshe wrote, and it seems that Rav Moshe himself was Chozer, and Rav Moshe is also Machmir. So he also recommends to be Machmir about this issue. But anyway, that's the interesting halachic issue nowadays, that we know that the woman is Musalak has done much earlier on. what would we say about this Shlosha Chadashim? There's a further discussion in the Achronim, a major discussion in the Achronim, many different shitos. What exactly is the din that Sumchus is being mechadesh? That Sumchus says b'shem Rabbi Meir that it's 3 months. How exactly do we understand this chiddush of 3 months? The Rashash, for instance, writes that Sumchus is being mechadesh that even if it's hukar ubra before 3 months, meaning all the Mishnah said was hukar ubra. So what's Sumchus being mechadesh by telling me that it's 3 months? So the Rashash explains that he's saying that even if you have a woman who's recognizably pregnant before 3 months, we don't say daya shaita. But Sumchus is definitely mota that if 3 months comes and it's not yet hukar ubra on this particular woman, then it would not be daya shaita until you also have hukar ubra. Meaning, according to Rashash, what Sumchus is telling me is that you not only need hukar ubra, you also need the passage of 3 months. Chazanish suggests another tzad to say that maybe if it's Yigia Shlosha Chadashim and she still hasn't seen Dam, so it's Dayashaita. So it doesn't really depend on Hukar Ubra at all, it depends on 3 months. And that's, so Sumchus being Mechadish, two things. That Hukar Ubra without 3 months is nothing, that she's still going to be Mitame L'mafreya, and 3 months without Rasa is Dayashaita. If you have 3 months where she doesn't see Dam, that's going to affect Daya Shaita. The Aruch Liner, a slightly different understanding. He says it definitely doesn't depend on anything other than Hakaras HaUbar. Sumchus being Mechadesh, that 3 months pass by, so we assume that it must already be Hukar Ubra, that we have the right to make the assumption of Hukar Ubra. And there are a variety of other slight variations in how to understand this line in the Achronim. But anyway, so that's the Shita of Sumchus, so he doesn't have a Rayel Dover, he has a Zechel Dover, that after 3 months, you hit the point of Hukar Ubra. So says the Gemara, that's only a Zechel Dover. Zechel Dover, Kruxiv, Rayel Gedolihi. What do you mean? It says that after 3 months, they realized Tamar was pregnant, and they told Yehuda, how much bigger of a Raya do you need than that? It's kemat explicit in the Pasuk. So it says Gemara, no, Mishum di'ika di'yolda l'tes, vi'ika di'yolda l'shiva. This is a theme that's going to come up several times in this Masechta. In the times of the Gemara, they assumed that there were two modes of pregnancy. Sometimes a woman was pregnant, like we have nowadays, where you assume she's going to give birth 9 months later, and sometimes they had abbreviated pregnancies, not preemies. These were pregnancies that were on a different track. That 7 month pregnancies, where the baby came to full term, is 7 months in. So since there are some that are yolda l'shiva, and maybe yolda l'shiva shouldn't take 3 months to have hukar ubra. Maybe for her it should take 1/3 of her pregnancy. So that's why the pasuk isn't a complete raya that it's always going to be 3 months. Maybe for Tamar it was 3 months because for her it was a 9 month pregnancy. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. Areisha is a becheskes muberes v'ras adam v'achachi pila ruach. What if a woman was becheskes pregnant? She saw dam, and then right away she was mapila ruach. Al kol davar sheinu shel kayama, meaning instead of having a fetus, a burst of wind came out of her, or something that's sheinu shel kayama. We'll see also later in the Masechta what makes a woman tamei b'tumas leida, what doesn't, what counts as a leida, what doesn't count as a leida. So something like that happens. So arei becheskasa v'daya shay. Well, she was Becheskas Muberes, so that Becheskas Muberes helps, even though now we see that she wasn't really Muberes with a fetus. She wasn't really pregnant with a real fetus. Still, it's going to be Dayashaita. The Avogav Shein Raya Ladavar, Zech Ladavar. And again, even though there's no clear Raya, there's still a Zechra to it, because the Pasuk says, Harinu Chalnu Kamo Yaladnu Ruach. So it uses the term Yaladnu Ruach, that apparently Ruach has a din of Leida in some respects. So in what respect does it have a din of Leida? For the halacha of Dayashaita, that if she was Becheskas Muberes, that counts as Dayashaita. So again, two lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, Mai Zecher L'davar, Hari Raya Gedolihi. Why do you call that a Zecher L'davar? That's a Raya Gedola. It's explicit in the Pasuk. So the Gemara says, no, Kiksiv Haikra, Bizcharim Ksiv. The whole pasuk isn't even talking about women who are pregnant. It's talking about men, and men obviously don't get pregnant. So the whole pasuk is so much figurative. So it's not. So the whole raya is the fact that we use that as the mashal. We use pregnancy as the mashal is the whole raya. So Uriminhi Kashta Shnayim Ulushlishi Hipila Ruach. Oh, called over Shenu Shel Kayama. Harezia this resolves. It says, when I'll ask you a stira, if a woman is in labor for a couple of days, and then on the third day she sees dam, right during the Rashi points out, he fills in some of the details. Kashta Shnei Yamin Bitoch Achados or Yemei Zov. During the 11 days of Yemei Ziva, the Yuralef Yom, Shebein Nida Lenida, Rashi says on the bottom, Lushlishi Nami Rasa, and on the third day she also sees dam, Vachar Kachi Pila Ruach, and then she's Mapila Ruach, Boba Yom, on the third day itself, Velo Shafsim Natsar, and she never has a break from the Tsar of Leda, from the labor pains. So that's considered the Yoledes Bezov, and she's going to need Shivanakim and a Karban for her Ziva. And since it's not a baby, so she's not a Yoledes, it's a Zov. She's it's a full-fledged Zava. So meaning we don't just chalk up the blood to the labor and say that it's not Ziva, that it's all Yoledes. No, we chalk up the blood to Ziva because she didn't really have a baby, and therefore she's a full-fledged Zava. So again, so the bottom line of the Gemara, Shlishi Pila Ruachel called Avashenu Shel Kayama, Harei Zu Yoledes Bezov. That woman counts as Yoledes Bezov, full-fledged Ziva. The E Amrit Leida Malia Sahi, but if you're going to say that Hapalas Ruach counts as a real Leida, Koshi Samuk Leida, Rachmana Tiere, but when there's Dam Koshi right before a real Leida, right before a real experience of Leida, there's Dam that comes out as a result of the labor, the Torah was Metair such Dam. So why would we call this a Yoledes Bezov? Why would we give her the full status of Ziva? So I'm Rav Papi, Hanach Me'is Leis, Drabanan. So Rav Papi says, it's definitely, it's not a Leida, but when it comes to Dayashaita, we consider it a Vlad for the purposes of Me'is Leis, Drabanan, meaning that in a situation it's not a Leida, and therefore when it comes to Yoledes Bezov, if we were to consider it a Leida, it would be a tremendous kula. We would take away the status of Ziva Da'oraisa, but since Da'oraisa it's not a Leida, the Leida can't overpower the Ziva Da'oraisa, and therefore she is definitely a Zava Mida'oraisa. But when it comes to her chazaka of being pregnant and using that chazaka of being pregnant as a kula on a Din D'Rabbanan, the Din D'Rabbanan of Tumah L'Mafreya, is she going to be Tameh retroactively? So for that, we can assume that for the Din D'Rabbanan, we can count the Yoledes Ruach as if she's really a Yoledes. The woman who's Mapia L'Ruach, as if she's really a Yoledes. Rav Papa Amar Midi U'tayma El Mishum D'Rosha Kavid Aleh Ve'Vra Kved Naleh. Rav Papa says, even though it's not a Vlad, we would still say Dayashaita for a different reason. Not because we're only dealing with the Din D'Rabbanan to talk about Tumah L'Mafreya. No, because the whole reason that we assume the woman is Musulak as Danim is because of a physical manifestation of the pregnancy, which is that she starts feeling a little bit ill. She feels that Rosh HaKavid Aleh, her head is heavy, her limbs are a little heavier. Sachanami, Rosh HaVevera Kvedin Aleh. Till she was actually Mapil the Ruach, she had no idea that there wasn't a baby in there because she felt pregnant, and as long as she feels pregnant, that's enough to create a sense of Dayashaita, because she had Rosh HaVevera Kvedin Aleh, and therefore we do consider that she's Musulekas Bedamim, even with the Hirion Shel Ruach, even with a pregnancy that's only Shel Ruach. But when it comes to, is it a real pregnancy? Of course it's not a real pregnancy. Is it a real Leida? Of course not. So Yoledes Bezov, she's going to be, but in terms of being Musulekas Damim, that depends on the reality of how she feels. And the reality of how she feels is miserable. She feels like a pregnant person. So that's that's why she's considered to be Misalek as Damin. Rabbi Kivega writes another nafkamina between Rav Papi and Rav Papa, is what, meaning what would be the nafkaminas between Rav Papi? They each have their own answer. Rav Papi said, yeah, it's because Me'is Leis is only Drabanan. And Rav Papa said, no, it's because Me'is Leis depends on whether she's in fact Evarek Vedin Aleha, and she is. So what would be nafkaminas between Rav Papi and Rav Papa? This Rabbi Kivega writes that nafkamina would be if you find a kesem between two women that are sitting on one bed, and you find a stain on that bed, and one of these women is mu'uberes, was pregnant, but in the end was yolda ruach. So according to Rav Papi, so it's only legabe the halach of me'etz le'etz that the chum were mekil to say that this is considered a leida. But when it comes to a kesem, they weren't mekil, even though kesem is also drabanan, but kesem seems to be a much more serious drabanan, and therefore we don't find anywhere that they were mekil about this, and we would consider this not to be a pregnancy at all for that in that regard, and therefore both of the women are going to be tameh. Because generally speaking, if you have two women, one who's mesulekas damim and one who's not mesulekas damim, that is sitting on a bed, and you find blood on the bed, we have the right to be tola that the blood came from the one who's not mesulekas damim, and the one who's mesulekas damim did not bleed. So that case might be a nafkamina, because according to Rav Papi, since this woman on the daraisa level is not mesulekas damim, they're both going to be tamei. We can't say, oh, she's pregnant, she's mesulekas damim. On the daraisa level, she's not. Whereas according to Rav Papa, we would be told of the kesem that it comes from the woman who's not pregnant, because really, the woman who is pregnant, even though it's yolda ruach, is going to be considered mesulekas damim because she feels miserable, and that's all you need to be considered mesulekas damim. Another nafkamina is if you find a stain between two women who are both pregnant, and one of them is yolda ruach. According to Rav Papi, we'd be told that the kesem came from the isha that was yolda ruach, because she's the one that is much less mesulekas damim, meaning, again, Rav Papi said it's all because it's a din d'rabbanan, but really she's like any other woman. It's not like she doesn't even count on the daraisa level, she's not even pregnant. We don't even count her as being pregnant. Whereas according to Rav Papa, on the daraisa level, she for the halachos of siluk dam, she is considered pregnant. It's only for halachos of ziva that she's not considered pregnant. For other halachos of tumba, for halachos of siluk dam, she is considered pregnant. So that's going to be another nafkamina between Rav Papi and Rav Papa. And the Badei HaShulchan, another important contemporary sefer on Hilchos Nida, it's sort of like a Mishnah Brura on Hilchos Nida. If I recall, there's someone else that wrote a sefer on Hilchos Nida in the same style, but actually called it Mishnah Brura. And I think because of that, it never gained popularity. People thought that was a little bit of a chutzpah to call a sefer Mishnah Brura. But the Badei HaShulchan wrote a sefer that's just like a Mishnah Brura, except he called it Badei HaShulchan. He writes another nafkamina. What if you see three times b'yamei ibura in equal intervals, and then she's mapil ruach or something that's not shel kayama? If she's considered to be a real mu'uberes, really pregnant, then that would not be considered a kvias vest. It wouldn't be koveya a vestas for her. But if you say that it's hisbarl mafreya that she was never really pregnant, so then we would have to be choshish for that veset. So that would be another nafkamina between Rav Papi and Rav Papa. Or on the flip side, if she had a prior veset before her pregnancy, and then during that pregnancy, that so-called pregnancy, she passed three cycles without seeing down. So if you say that it's Huvara Davar L'Mafreya, she was never pregnant, so then that's enough to be Oker the Veset. When you have Veset Kavua, you need three times in order to uproot that Veset. But if you say, no, she was pregnant, that's why she didn't see Dam. She has a real din of a woman who's pregnant, so that's not Oker a Veset. She was just pregnant. That's why she wasn't seeing Dam. Okay, next, Vayter in the Gemara, five lines in on Daf Tesa Meral. What if a woman saw Dam, and then right after that it was hukar ubra? Kivin de beinah de chazai lo hukar ubra mitamia, al dilma kivin de samach la chazai lo mitamia. Should we say that since she at the time that she saw the dam, it was not yet hukar ubra, so she's still mitamia lemafreya? Or do we say, but come on, it was so close, she was hukar ubra right after she saw the dam, and therefore won't be mitamia lemafreya? So the Rishonim have a very hard time with this line of Gemara. What kind of question is this? Meaning we said that once it's hukar ubra, she's going to be dayashaita. Prior to hukar ubra, it's not dayashaita. So what kind of question? What if it was 10 minutes before hukar ubra? What if it was so soon before? We made a line. We drew a line. There's a line in the sand that prior to hukar ubra, it's not dayashaita. After hukar ubra, it is dayashaita. What's the hava amina to assume that this might be a flexible time? It is somewhat interesting to me that Rabbi Yirmiyah is the one that asks this question. I believe it's Rabbi Yirmiyah, if I'm not mistaken, is the one that asks him Maseches Babasra, in the second parak, when the Gemara talks about how far a bird that is not yet able to fly will stray from its nest. So meaning you find a bird near a nest, and you want to know if it belongs necessarily to the person who owns that nest, or maybe this bird comes from somewhere else. So the Gemara says, well, a bird will never stray more than 50 amos from its nest. So if you find it 51 amos or 60, 70 amos away from the nest, you don't have to assume that it comes from that it hopped from that nest, because it would never hop that far. Whereas if you find it 40 amos from the nest, then you do assume it comes from the nest. So Rabbi Yirmiyah, I believe, is the one who asked that shaila, where he says, what if it has 1 foot over 50 amos and 1 foot within 50 amos? Meaning it's just a bit past 50 amos. So come on, you're going to tell me that it will go all the way, all that way, but it won't take that one extra step? And the Gemara says, Val daf guli Rabbi Yirmiyah mbe midrasha, that for that asking that shaila, they threw him out of the base medrash. And the reason they threw him out of the base medrash is, yes, that's exactly what we're telling you. When the Chum made a shear, they made a shear, and that's it. If that's the shear, then even just an inch more is beyond the shear. So for some reason, I didn't see the Rishonim really bring that up over here. How this seems to be Rabbi Yirmiyah asking Lashitaso, where he says, come on, what if it's just a little bit earlier? The Rishonim instead tried to explain it, because the Gemara over here doesn't say that they threw him out. So maybe they held that this was a good kasha. So, alright, there are a whole bunch of different shitas in Rishonim. I'll just mention one. The Ramban at first explains, even though he rejects this eventually, and he has different shitas, and Rashba rejects his different shitas and has different ones. The Ramban first explains that we're talking about where she sees dam on the day that Shlish Yimei Ibura is finished, that one third of her pregnancy is finished. And the suffix is whether the Zman of Hakaras Ubar begins in the morning. It's just that we're not Beki in Hakaras Ubar, or maybe calls man Shalo Shlima Shlish Yimei Ibura, calls man that the entire one third of her pregnancy is not completely over, we don't consider it Hukar Ubra. So it's not really a shaila about a woman who sees dam right before Hukar Ubra, it's a shaila about Hukar Ubra, about what if it's right, when do we really consider, what is that line in the sand? Meaning, it's not that Rabbi Yirmiyah denies that there is a line in the sand, we're asking what that line is. When exactly is Hukar Ubra? The beginning of the last day of the third trimester, or the beginning of the first day of the second trimester? Okay, so Amrulay, Midiyu Taimel Mishum Derosha, Kavidala Vevra Kavidala. So they said, well, think about it, the whole svara of Musalakas Damin is that she doesn't feel well. So Bin de Chazai, Ein Rosha Kavidala Vevra Kavidala. At the time that she saw Dam was not yet Hukar Ubra, which means she did not yet feel lousy. So as long as she didn't feel lousy yet, then it's not going to be considered Hukar Ubra, she's still going to be Mitame Limafreya. About 10 lines into the Gemara now, a certain elderly man asked Rabbi Yochanan, "Higia is vesta b'yimei ibura v'lo badka mahu? What if a woman had her veset come during her pregnancy and she did not do a bedika at the shas haveset? So what would the din be? So kami ba'ili aliba demand yamar vestos daraisa. May we would have this shaila according to the shita that vestos are daraisa. Given the vestos daraisa by a bedika, odilma given to the where the shaila would be, since vestos are daraisa, maybe we should assume that she requires a bedika. Or should we say no, that since she's Musulak as Damim, it's unnecessary to do a bedika because she's Musulak as Damim. She's not seeing Dam now, anyway. So Amar Leit Nisua. So he said, well, we learned this explicitly. Rameir Omer, Im Haisa B'michvev. Let's say she was in hiding for whatever reason. There was some reason to be afraid. There were people after her, so she was in hiding. V'igia Shas Vesta V'lo Batka. And the time of her Vesta, the time where she was expecting to see Dam came, and she didn't do a Bedika. Tahora Shecharada Misalakas Es Adamim. We assume that she's Tahora because we assume that it's the fear alone that caused the Dam to not appear. Taimadika Charada Haleka Charada. Sounds like it's only because she's fearful, but had it just been a regular veset that arrives, where she's just going about her normal day and fails to do a bedika, she's going to be presumed to be tameh. We have that chazaka that areich b'zman obad, that the guest arrives on time, that the dam comes on time. So Alma Vestos Daraisa. We see from here that Vestos are Daraisa. Rashi explains that bedika that we require a woman to do at the Shas Vesta, what we seem to be saying is that's Daraisa. And why is it daraisa? Halach l'moshe misinai, because a reach bizmano ba, right? That's a real daraisa that she needs to do bedika the shas vesta when she has a vesta kavua, because you have the right to assume that that she sees dam always at that time. Chacham Betzalel explains based on the Behuda that the pasuk of Yizartem es b'nei Yisrael, meaning where it seems to be that there's a pasuk. Rashi says it's halach l'moshe misinai. Seems to be we have a pasuk, meaning the Aruch Hashulchan asks this kasha, the Rami Sado also. Why would Rashi say that it's halach l'moshe misinai? We have a pasuk Yizartem es b'nei Yisrael mitumasam, that you have an ashara to be careful from around the time of the Tumah. So that seems to be the pasuk to tell us Vestos. So why would Rashi say dafka that it's halach l'moshe misinai? So that's not viewed as a major discussion on Vestos in Chelek Aleph Yerdeya Simin Nunhei. When the Yehuda writes that the pasuk of Yizartem es b'nei Yisrael is talking about the prisha samach l'vestos, the din that you're not supposed to be boel your wife around the time of the vestos. Everyone agrees that's daraisa. Over here we're talking about where the vestos has passed already and she finds that she's tahora. Is she in fact tahora or not? And whether she's chayiv v'bedika v'zmana vestos. Legabe that, it may be halach l'moshe misinai if you hold vestos or daraisa. And if you hold vestos or drabanan, that's all you hold is drabanan. But prisha samach l'vestos, you would still hold this daraisa. That's the famous chiluk of the Nadav Yehuda. It's quoted in the Pesach Tshuva on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch that the Nadav Yehuda is mechalik between Shema Rasa and Shema Tira. A difference between maybe she saw already or maybe she did see. Because there is no a woman who is tahora is becheskas that she hasn't yet seen dam, and midaraisa we can rely on that chazaka, but she's not bechazaka that she never will see dam, because normal healthy women eventually will see dam. So for that, on a daraisa level, we don't have any chazaka, and therefore midaraisa you have to be choshesh that she's going to see dam b'shas vesta, and that's why you need to be poresh samach l'vesta. But the point is, back in our gemara now, v'kiven dika charada tamei musalakin v'lo baye b'dika. Since there is fear, so even though normally you require bedika b'shas vesta, but since there's fear, that causes the dam to go away, and that's why she does not need a bedika. So achinami damei musalakin v'lo baye bedika. So over here as well, since she's pregnant, it's damei musalakin, and therefore she doesn't require bedika. We assume that there is no dam there. Okay, two dots in the middle of the page. Manika. Menika achetigmal. A woman is considered to be nursing until she weans her child off of the nursing. So Tanu Rabbanan, Menika shemeis bina b'tol ches miyar b'chodesh harehi k'kol anashim umetame meisleis umufkidu l'fkida. If a woman is nursing but her child, Rachman al-Tzlan, dies within 24 months, so now she's not nursing anymore, so therefore she goes back to the status of a regular woman. She's not considered a nursing woman anymore, and she's going to be metame l'mafreya. L'fichach, so therefore, Rameir says it all depends on whether she's actively nursing or not. So there is no magic din of 2 years. If she stops actively nursing prior to 2 years, she goes back to being a regular woman. If she nurses for 4 or 5 years, she's considered Musalekas Damim for 4 or 5 years. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, but a whole team of Tanaim disagree with Rameir, and they all say, Dayan Shaitan Kalesrim Arba Chodesh. So for 24 months after having a baby, she's considered to be Misulekas Damim. Lefichach. They have their own lefichach. Since it does not depend on whether you're actually nursing or not, it only depends on 24 months. If she happens to nurse for 4 or 5 years, so then she's going to be tame meisleis and mifkida lufkida. In halachas pasuk in Shulchan Aruch like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Yossi that it's daya shaita until chaf dalid chodesh. The Rav Moshe however writes that bizman hazeh nishtanu ativim, and when she stops nursing, kimat every single woman when they stop nursing starts seeing dam again, and therefore from the first time she sees dam, she should be choshesh for an onabeninus and for a vesus kavua if she happened to have had a vesus kavua previously. Kishatim salam back in the Gemara. Kishatim salam. What is the root of the machlokas between a mayor on the one hand and all these other tanaim on the other hand? It must be that a mayor holds that the svara of why a nursing woman doesn't see dam is because dam necher v'nasa chalav. On some level, the blood it turns into the milk. Again, exactly what that means is a major discussion in the Rishonim. and the Akronim, Rashi seems to assume that the Dam Hanidus becomes milk, and that's why when she's producing milk and actually expelling milk, so she's not going to see any Dam, because that's the milk is the Dam. That's an appropriate post-Shavuos halacha, because that's one of the reasons that's given on the page in Shulchan Aruch as to why we have milchigs on Shavuos, that milk is the symbol of purity. Why is it the symbol of purity? Because it's Masulakas Damin. It makes it so that a person can't become Tame Damnida. So that's why one of the svaras that I think Magen Avraham quotes, that we have milchigs on Shavuos, I don't remember if it's Magen Avraham or the Ramah. I think it's Magen Avraham, that we have milchigs on Shavuos because it's Magen Avraham that it's Dam Necher V'Nas that we're showing that after 7 weeks, it's like our Shiva Nikiyim have passed, and we are so tar that it's Ki'ilu, we don't even have the ability to become Tamei. So that's what the milk represents on Shavuos. So that's the Shita of Rameir. But the other Tanaim hold that the fact that a nursing woman doesn't see Dam has nothing to do with the Dam turning into milk. No, it has to do with the weakness of her body after giving birth. That after she gave birth for 24 months, it takes her body 24 months to get back into full gear and to be able to menstruate normally again. So lefichach Rameir lamali. So says Gemara, what was this lefichach? Why did Rameir have to tell me a lefichach? He already told me that for the first 24 months, even within the first 24 months, if she doesn't nurse anymore, she goes back to being mitame lemafreya. Why does he then need to tell me that if she nurses for longer, that she's still going to be mitame only meis leis, that she's still going to be misalekas damim? It's obvious. He makes it taloy on nursing and not on months. So says Mar Mishum Lefichach Rabbi Yossi. Rameir only had to tell me Lefichach because Rabbi Yossi had to tell me Lefichach. Okay, Lefichach Rabbi Yossi Lamali. What did Rabbi Yossi's Lefichach come and tell me? Rabbi Yossi again said that it all depends on 24 months, that it makes no difference about nursing, not nursing. So why does he have to tell me Lefichach if she nurses longer than 24 months that she's not going to be Mesulakas Damin? So Ma'ad Detem Rabbi Yossi Tarti Yislei Kamash Mulano. Because I might have thought Rabbi Yossi holds that either criteria would be enough to make her misalekas damim, either being within 24 months or still nursing. That's why he comes to tell me, no, that Rabbi Yossi holds that it's only 24 months, and only 24 months is the sole criteria in terms of determining whether she's misalekas damim. Tanya nami achi dam necher v'nasachal divrei meir. Rameir holds dam necher v'nasachal. Rabbi Yossi omer evra misparkin ve'inafshu chazer salad esrim arba chodesh. Rabbi Yossi holds that her body just is out of sorts for 24 months. Rabbi Loi, my time with Rameir. Where does Rameir get his din from? D'chsiv mi'itin tor mitamei lo echad. That who's the one that makes tahar from tamei, meaning that makes tahar milk from tamei dam? Kolam biyakodesh baruch hu v'rabbanan amar biyochran zushich v'zera shu tamei v'odon anotzer mimenu tahar. No, that's not a reference to dam turning into milk. That's a reference to how people are conceived. That we come from a putrid drop of shich v'zera, which is tamei, and a person that's tahar is created from that. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Elu Me'anida, Shamazo Mazon Alav Tahar, V'nogeya Tamei. We have to remember, has nothing to do with Nida. Me'anida refers to the water that's mixed with the ashes of the Paraduma. So that's what it means. Who's the one that makes Tahar from Tamei? Refers to the Paraduma ash water, where the person who does the sprinkling and has the sprinkling done on them is Tahar, but the person who touches it is Tamei. Says Gemara, wait a second. The person who does the sprinkling is Tahar? Is that really true? Umaze tar, vaksiv umaze me'anida yichabes begadav. Doesn't it say he requires kibbutz begadim? So Gemara says, no, that doesn't mean the sprinkler. My maze, nogeya. It means someone who happens to touch it. Vaksiv maze, vaksiv nogeya. But it says maze and nogeya separately. So how can you say that that maze means nogeya? Va'od, maze by kibbutz, nogeya lo by kibbutz. Furthermore, when it says maze, it says he needs kibbutz begadim. By nogeya, it never says he needs kibbutz begadim. So elamai maze, no say. So maze must mean someone who carries the me'anida, not someone who sprinkles it. So v'lichtav nose. So why would you call it maze? Just call it nose. So this comes to teach me by calling the carrier of Meinida the Nose, it's teaching me that one only becomes Tame from carrying Meinida if they carry a Shir Hazah, if they carry enough Meinida that could be used for sprinkling. That's great if you hold that there is such a thing as a Shir Hazah, that you do need a certain amount to sprinkle. But if you hold that Hazah doesn't require a Shir anyway, then what are you going to tell me? Yerushalmi, then what's, why does it call it Maza instead of calling it Nose if it's referring to a Nose? So it says where I feel about the Amarim Tzvich Hashir, Hanimili Agav de Gavra, of Bamana being a Shir. Even if you may need that doesn't require a Shir, that means it doesn't require a Shir of an amount that needs to land on the person that you're sprinkling it on. But in the Kli itself, from which you are sprinkling the main nida, the main chatas, that definitely requires a shir. You need at least enough to dip in the stalks that you're dipping in to do the sprinkling with, that it will have enough liquid attached to it that you could do the sprinkling. And about this strange tumatara process of the paraduma, that Shlomo, it's about this that Shlomo Mel said that I thought I was wise, but this is beyond me. I can't possibly figure out why the nogeya, the nosei, become tame, but the maze and the one who's a lav is tahar. How could the same item be both the source of tuma and the source of tahara? Ezu is a Kena. Then we said we discussed the Kena in the Mishnah as another woman who's Musalak as Damim. What is Ezu Kena? Kol Shavur Ala Shalosh Ano Samach Levesta. Samach Zeknasa, rather. Anyone who, when she's at a menopausal age, stops seeing Dam for three periods. So then we assume that she's Musalak as Damim, that she's hit menopause. Two lines from the bottom on Tesamad Aleph. Hechi Dami Samach Zeknasa. So what does it mean, Samach Zeknasa? Amravida Kol Shachavrasa Amrasala Zekena. Meaning, what defines old? So whenever her friends are calling her old, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Shekorin La Ima Ima Veina Bosha. Rabbi Shimon says that the age where people start calling her mom or grandma, like her kids' friends call her ma or whatever, or around the neighborhood, and she's not embarrassed by that because that's what she feels like. She feels like a mother. She feels like a grandmother. Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yitzchak, Chad Amar Kol Sheina Makpedas, VeChad Amar Kol Sheina Bosha. But the exact details of that is a machlokas. Is it whenever she doesn't get upset by it, or whenever she doesn't get embarrassed by it? So my benayu, what's the difference between them? Ika benayu boshav and makpedas. Sometimes a woman might feel embarrassed by it, but it's hard to get upset because she knows she's old. So meaning she doesn't get upset at the kids or at the people that call her that because they're just reacting to what she looks like and she knows what she looks like. But it's still embarrassing to her because mentally she's not there. We all have that stage where we see ourselves as differently than the way we really look. Right? I've had the occasion where I've looked in the mirror and wondered who that fat guy is. We get to that stage sometimes. So that's the nafkamina. The kama ona, how much is an ona? Meaning we say she goes through three onos without seeing dam. So how much is an ona? Amrei shlokshim shum rabbi denasiya. Ona beninis shloshim yom. It's the average riyas dam of 30 days. That's considered to be the ona beninis. This is obviously the way we paskin in terms of our own chashashos for vestas. When a woman has vest sheina kavua, we always have to worry about in addition to the vest haflag and the vest yom hachodesh, the ona beninis, which is 30 days. And again, the 30 days is counted a little differently than we would count 30 days. If today is day one, so 30 days is, from now is not day 31. 30 days would be day 30, meaning we would count both extremes. So that's why it's 30 days. Rava Amar Rav Chista Esrim Yom. Rava says in the name of Rav Chista 20 days. V'lo pligi, but they're not really arguing, even though it sounds like they're arguing. Marka chashav yimei tuma v'yimei tara, umar lo chashav yimei tuma. One is counting the yimei tuma and the yimei tara, one's not counting the yimei tuma, meaning in any given cycle, there are 7 days of nida, and there are 11 potential days of ziva, but the worst ziva could ever hit is 3 days. So between the 7 and the 3, that's the question whether we're counting those days or not. That's how Rashi explains it. Tosfos has a difficult time with that and has to change the girsa because it doesn't seem to make much sense. Let's stick with Rashi for expedience sake. Tan Rabbanan. About 8 lines in. Zakena Shavra La Shalosh Onos, Virasa Dayashaita. If a woman is already toward that age and she goes 3 periods without seeing Dam, and then she sees Dam afterwards, so Dayashaita, so now she's only going to be Tam Mikan Labah, she's not going to be Tam in Mafreya. Vodavra La Shalosh Onos Virasa Dayashaita. If it happens again, another 90 days pass, and she doesn't see Dam, and then she sees Dam, so again it's only going to be Tam Mikan Labah. Vodavra La Shalosh Onos Virasa, Harek Kal Nashim Tam Mesa is Mfkid. regular Fkida. If it happens again, then she's just a regular woman. Now she has a Ves Kavu of seeing every 90 days. That's just her cycle now. She's apparently seeing every 90 days. Veloshe Kivna, and it's not only if it's exactly every 90 days, El Afilu Pichsa V'Osira, even if it's a little more or less. Like Rashi says, let's say, for instance, she sees 93 days later, and then she sees 92 days later, and then she sees 91 days later. So that also would be considered, even though there's no Ves Kavu over there, that also would be considered that she's a regular woman, and we assume she's back in the cycle of bleeding. Tos says, wait a second, is that a good example? If she sees 93, 92, 91, isn't that a Vesas Kavua? Because there's a pattern there. It's three Re'ios of actual seeing them. So Tos points out that no, when it comes to a Hafluga that's Bedilug, that skips a number, you need four Re'ios, because to have a Ves Kavua Bedilug, you need three skips. You need to skip three times. So from 93 to skip down to 92, so by the time she's on 92, that's only one. That's only one skip. And then 91 is the second skip. She would then need to go to 90. So Rashi's example is just fine. Afilu Pichs of Lomi Bayakivna doesn't mean to say even if she goes down in numbers and doesn't even need to be said if it's exactly on target every 90 days. Adaraba, ki kivna kavla vestava dayashaita. For sure, if she's mechavein, if she sees every 90 days, then she has a vest kavua. And then, of course, it's going to be dayashaita. And if you're going to say no, we're assuming like the Rabbanon that a woman who has a vesas is metame meis la'es is not dayashaita ibchami bayalei, then it should say the opposite. Velema veloshe pichsav elsira el afilu kivna. That's what it should say. It should say not only if she's pichsav elsira, but even if she's kivna, where you might think that she's only metame mikana laba. No, we're assuming like the Rabbanon that even then she'll be metame meis la'es. So tni loshe pichsav elsira el afilu kivna. So yeah. Change the words around. It should say not only if she's pichsav el sira, if she goes down in numbers, up in numbers, even if it's exactly every 90 days. Still, since we're assuming like the Rabbanan, she's going to be mitame lemafreya, because we assume that even if es kavua is not dayashaita. V'iba yisei mahachika amar lo shekivna el shepichsav el sira aval kivna kavla veses v'dayashaita umani Rabbi Dosehi. Or maybe what we're saying is lo shekivna, not when she gets it exactly 90 days, but it's a little bit off each time. But if it were exactly 90 days, then we would assume she'd be dayashaita, because then she has a ves kavua. Not because she's misalek as damim, but because she has a ves kavua, and a woman who has a ves kavua is dayashaita. Two dots, three lines in the wide lines. Rabbi Elazar Omer called Isha Shavrela. Rabbi Elazar said it doesn't have to be samach l'ziknasa. Any woman who goes through three periods without seeing dam is considered to be misalek as damim. She may be hitting menopause early. Tanya, Amar lam Rabbi Elazar l'chamim, ma'isa b'riva achas be'i saldo, shiv sika shalosh anos. There was a story with a young girl in Heisalo that stopped seeing dam three times. And the Chum Paskin for her was Dayashaita, even though she was a young girl. So Amrlo, ain't Shas El Chak Raya. They said, no, you can't bring a Raya from a Shas El Chak. That case was obviously different. It was a Shas El Chak. My Shas El Chak, what was the Shas El Chak over there? So Ikadamri Shnei Betzoros Havu. Some say it was years of famine. Ikadamri Taros Afish Lavida, V'chash Rabbanon Hefzit Taros. She dealt a lot with Taros, and the Rabbanon were worried about the Hefzit Taros. Tan Rabbanon, one more Brysa. Maisavasa Rabbi Karabi Eliezer. Rabbi once did like Rabbi Eliezer, even with a young girl that didn't see for three periods, he was mitair lemafreya. La'achash niskar amar kedai Rabbi Eliezer lismach lo b'shas al chak. But once he remembered, he said, you know what, we could be somech on Rabbi Eliezer b'shas al chak at least. Ma'i li'achash niskar. What does it mean once he remembered? Once he remembered what? Ilem la'achash niskar dein alach Rabbi Eliezer elakrabanon b'shas al chak eichiyavet kavasei. If he remembered that we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, so then why was he satisfied that b'shas al chak we can pass the Rabbi Elazar if we reject him entirely? Must be that this is one of those things that we never came to a clear halachic conclusion. So what does it mean lacha sheniskar after he remembers? Lacha sheniskar delav yachid poligale el rabin pligiale. After he realized that even though there was no clear halachic conclusion, Rabbi Elazar was up against the rabbim, and therefore we would generally be nota to go with the chachamim. So he said, Amar kedai Rabbi Elazar l'smuch lo b'shas al chak, that it's not the end of the world, because since there was no clear cut halacha one way or the other, at least we could be samech on Rabbi Eliezer b'shas al chak. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, will pick up from the next price about 8 lines on the 7 lines on the bottom tomorrow.